The Nugent Commission into SARS painted a picture of a deeply captured organization adding to the pressure. The revenue collection target has been missed for a fifth consecutive year. And this, the state of the institution, SARS Commissioner Designate Edward Kiesvetter returns to. Yes, he isn't entirely new to the organization, having previously held Deputy Commissioner position at SARS back in 2004. But he joins us in studio now to focus instead on the journey ahead. Thanks so much, Edward, for joining us in studio this evening. Right at the top, congratulations on your appointment, but I've got to ask, why the decision to get back into the game and take on this mammoth task at SARS after having opted for early retirement from the private sector?
Thank you, Alicia. You know, it's the question everyone asks, and it's the question I asked myself and discussed with my family extensively. But, you know, our president, Ramaphosa, in his inaugural State of the Nation, sincerely and genuinely sent out a Tuma Mina call to all South Africans. We can all stand and criticize and point fingers, but at the end of the day, a few of us have to roll up our sleeves and say, send me. And this is one of the areas where I felt I was able, experienced, and ready to serve, and then it still wasn't up to me. And when the call came, I must tell you, it's an inordinate privilege and an honor to be able to go back and to help restore, recover, and turn around one of the most critical institutions that capacitate our democracy.
Having said that, Edward, it's a very different organization you're taking the reins at now from when you left back in 2004. I mean, with a certain level of insider knowledge of operations, have you sat back, jaw dropped over the recent years, specifically period 2014 to 2018, wondering how things could have been left to unravel to the extent that it has?
Yes, it is, and it's a tragedy, I have to say, and the decline in SARS is part of what we now know is the state capture project. And if anyone is still in denial about it, then, you know, they are either completely ignorant or complicit by their denial. State capture was real, and SARS was caught right back in the middle of that. And of course, you know, your intro was actually quite insightful to focus on the future, because we also don't want to dwell on the past, mm-hmm. but we have to take stock. The Nugent Commission was very clear that there has been a gross decline in governance, integrity, in just hollowing out the institution of its core capability to fulfill its mandate.
Yeah.
And so I think very important that we start that journey, which is rebuilding internally the confidence and trust that many good men and women who still work there ought to have in the leadership of SARS, but also externally to begin the journey of rebuilding public confidence and trust.
Because we've seen the kind of impact it's had. I mean, just yesterday, SARS announcing that it's missed its revenue collection targets by 14.6 billion rand. And yes, weak economic growth has something to do with it, but it also has to do with internal challenges at the organization, administrative failings that have come to bear, and lower compliance levels impacting as well. So how are you rating the job that SARS has been doing, and where do you start when it comes to turning this picture around?
So internally, a number of things. First of all, just you need a fully engaged and motivated staff. And many of the staff, understandably, Alicia, if you get up every morning and you read bad, negative press about your organization, it begins to affect and impact on your work. It's just human. And so for those who have just become disillusioned and lost hope, we need to go out there and build confidence, lead to inspire them, because many of them still have the capability and understand, especially those who were there in the good years of SARS, they understand the higher purpose, orientation, and mission of the organization. But we also have read that many good people have left either because they were ostracized or because they were marginalized. Many of them, I know, will be ready to come back, and we will consider that on a case-by-case basis to rebuild, repurpose and retool, recapacitate the organization. So, for example, you would have heard Acting Commissioner Mark Kingon yesterday announced the relaunch of the Large Business Center. But I can tell you now, that's not just about creating a place, a building, and opening the doors. It's about understanding again what is the deep research capability, the intelligence that that we need to appropriately risk profile all taxpayers, the large business, the large corporates, the high net worth individuals. And then in addition to that, also opening units such as the integrity unit. Yeah. To SARS requires, it needs to be connected into the economy. It needs the ability to distill the appropriate information, understand which taxpayers present its risk, and then have the capability and the tools to enact and to enforce the law.
We'll be getting into the nitty-gritty of all of that in the second half of the show. Before we do, I've got to ask you, because your role is key and central to all of this, and being a technocrat is one thing, but the job requires someone who can navigate the politics of it all as well, Edward. Just how much of a politician are you? Because say what you may, it is required.
So this is a political appointment because the president appoints you. But this is a professional appointment. I am appointed because I'm a professional leader who understands the technical environment, who understands the people dynamic of this, very important, and also who understands the political and socioeconomic landscape within which the mandate of SARS is contextualized. That doesn't make me a politician. Clearly, one has to understand the political dynamics, as you have to understand the social dynamics and the economic dynamics. And so I think having worked both in private sector but as well as public sector throughout my life gives me a sensitivity and an orientation to understand the dynamics but also to respond to it and to do it with sensitivity but still to act without fear or favour.
Well, after the break, we get into all that's required to navigate this landscape. We're heading into a short break. We continue our conversation with the SARS Commissioner Designate right after this, so stay tuned. Still with me in studio as we continue our conversation on what it's going to take to turn things around at SARS, SARS Commissioner Designate Edward Kiesvetter. Thanks so much, Edward, for staying with us. So the assumption is that politics is what saw to the demise of the units you established in your tenure, specifically to focus on those high net worth individuals that you spoke about earlier and large businesses as well. They were dismantled by former SARS boss Tom Moyane in 2015. It forms part of this entire state capture story. Does this now come back full force?
Yes, I think the commissioner is, as I said, is someone who understands the landscape, but who acts in terms of administering the law. And that's very clear. The mandate of SARS is clear, and to do that without fear or favour. Mm-hmm. We have a very clear sense of compliance culture, and we know that when the public no longer have confidence and trust in the revenue authority, then confidence slides, compliance culture slides, and then people begin to take the gap, and even honest taxpayers begin to become lax about it. And it also creates the opportunity for those who willfully and with intent seek to either defraud or to not respond fully to the obligation. It creates just the environment for all of this to happen. And so that's the project. Is about building public confidence and trust in the organization. Obviously to provide excellent service, but then also where appropriate to enforce responsibly and appropriately.
Yeah. Have you gotten a sense of just how much of a problem delinquency, if we can call it that, has become when it comes to citizens, paying or not paying their dues? Because, you know, this is in the context of a slowing economic environment overall.
Yes, so even more so why SARS has to be effective, because it has to collect the taxes that are due, which already would have been harder in a declining economy because, you know, if you don't have employment, you don't have personal income tax. If companies aren't doing well, you don't have corporate income tax. If consumables and disposable income drops, people don't buy, so you have a slowdown in VAT. So everything is connected to the well-being of the economy. But within any economy, on a good day it's hard, when the economy, when SARS has been incapacitated as it is, it becomes harder. So what does a respectable revenue authority need to operate effectively? First of all, it needs to be plugged into the economy. It needs to understand, and this is not just about big business, it's the little men and women who tries to just eke out a living. How do we make sure that the environment is conducive for them to work and function effectively? And so the first is to be plugged into the economy to understand what's happening. Secondly, it requires information with integrity. Now, we have moved on from 2004 when we launched the first large business center. Today, technology enables us to know so much more. And we have enough information, public information, and information that is available to understand and to know where every person spends and where the economic activity goes. So information with integrity. Yeah. Thirdly, the capacity, the skillfulness to read that, to derive insight from that, so that it understands what that information means. Then fourthly, to be able to use that to appropriately profile the risks that every single taxpayer presents. And that then is the lens through which we act.
Of course, all of that falling within your ambit as a revenue service. But how funds are being spent by government at the end of the day is what's helped contribute to some of the delinquency that we are seeing right now. And where that's not something that you have, direct control of, how hard does this start making your job?
You know, and thanks for raising that. And my appeal to all South Africans, because the point you raise is clear. And let me be very frank about this. The quality of the expenditure, the trust that public has in that, has a direct impact on compliance culture. Yeah. So yes, it does matter to the SARS commissioner whether or not government departments are spending well and are spending wisely, because that affects the health of the revenue collection on this at the same time. And so I would appeal to all South Africans to help me hold the public officials accountable. Mm-hmm. Hold your mayor accountable. Hold your regional representative accountable. Hold the directors general and the political principals of every department accountable for the quality of service that we may or may not get. I spoke earlier on about the little man in downtown Johannesburg. Before we think of harassing them and beating them, you know, they're simply eking out a living. How do we ensure that we support them, enable them to be effective so that they can produce growth, earn a living, and create and contribute towards a healthy tax system?
How open are the lines of communication then between SARS, yourself, and Treasury, the Finance Minister, when it comes to inputting and navigating around the scenario?
We have a very healthy relationship with Treasury. We've always had. And we know that some of that may have slipped in the past, but I am really committed. We've already begun to talk to our colleagues within Treasury to ensure that there's a vibrant and active and dynamic relationship. But it's not just about Treasury. We will need the help from the President, the Cabinet, mm-hmm. every public office bearer, whether political or administrative, to buy into
Absolutely.
This notion of building a compliant culture. Because tax compliance is just a reflection of general civil compliance and obedience. And unfortunately, we have become a society that while we respect the rule of law, we've also created huge opportunities for the rule of law to be disrespected and compromised. And that is endemic, it's systemic. So tax compliance doesn't exist on its own. It exists within a context of a society that lives towards a higher level mm-hmm. of civil obedience and compliance.
Well, as you say, buy-in needed across the board. I know that you've seen some wage settlement victory today agreeing on that 8% increase for SARS employees. We know that the legacy of the last few years is going to take time to reverse. What kind of timeline are you giving yourself here?
Well, we've already started to get our head into the current, because remember, time has moved on, the context has changed. And so I'm not assuming that I'm walking into the organization I left 9 years ago. So I think very quickly, even before the 1st of May, to get my head into it, but then also not to be a bull in a china shop, right? And to just go in. I think you do yourself a disservice. But very clearly, by the 1st of May, to have a clear sense of what the priorities is. I have already begun to say here are some immediate priorities. For example, restore governance and integrity very quickly, engage the people, both the internal people and the public, and everything begins and ends with people. And when we have that in place, then the nuts and the bolts, the processes, the policies, procurement reviews, current issues that have been raised by the Nugent Commission, all of this forms part of the list of priorities that will be in front of us and that we will have to accept and take on without fear or favour.
Well, we'll be tracking developments as they unfold. Thanks so much, Edward, for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Edward Kiesvetter is SARS Commissioner Designate.